We found the handwritten presentation that my mother gave to one of the garden clubs here in Montgomery. And she wrote it as somewhat of a poem or poetry of some sort. It had a philosophical feel to it almost. She talked about what it means to have a garden. She said, "I strive to be perfect in my gardening, but there is no real perfection." She talked about the things that are challenges to a gardener, planting flowers that don't do well in zone 8B. If you're a gardener, you know what I'm talking about. If she spoke about the length of the blooms on one spring flowering group of plants versus some of the later ones, like pansies versus daylilies. My mother talked about the things that get in the way of being a gardener, whether it's poor soil or over or underwatering or something, hen bite, is that a thing? Where's my gardener friend over here? It's a weed, and rattlesnake weed. The things that she felt persecuted by, it was as if they were sent by the devil himself to get in the way of her garden. Mind you, as her eyesight disappeared, she was her own worst enemy. She would weed the plants she had planted the week before. Sorry, Mom. But what she learned was two things. One is that doing a garden is not unlike raising children. Okay, doesn't work every time. But what she found was that sometimes you just give them what they need to survive, to thrive, to discover themselves, and to put down their own set of roots. And that's what it means to be a parent. But as a gardener, you do that similarly. You take your chances and see what happens. And what she learned from that experience was that she was not a perfect gardener. She was the imperfect gardener who found reward in an abundant garden. She was an imperfect gardener who was loved perfectly by her garden. Take that as you will. But I think it's a message for me, and maybe for each of us, that sometimes we cannot expect to live a perfect life, and yet life somehow has a way of giving back to us. Maybe that's why you're here this morning, looking for that little bit of nurture that comes with a life of faith and Christian devotion, and looking for that slight bit of nurture that will get you through this week, this month, this life. Some of you all know that it's been a busy week at St. John's. We had the sad privilege of burying young Stevenson on Tuesday, and the church was very crowded. I don't think I've seen it more crowded. 550 people. Be grateful for your elbow room today. It was a potent and powerful experience. And in the midst of all that, for those of you who are fanning yourselves in the congregation, just so you know, it wasn't working on Tuesday with over 500 people in here either. So we are working on that air conditioner this week. But here's what I want to say about Tuesday and about Friday when we bury Johnny Smith, a person very dear to very many people, Palmer's brother. Here's what I have learned about doing funerals, is that each and every one of us come to this space seeking, hoping for some consolation, some affirmation, some nurture, so that we can carry on with our lives with a different perspective, hopefully, with a different opportunity to go out into the world and live with more confidence, knowing that God is there with us. A little while ago, I was sharing with somebody that I've done a few funerals in my day. I've got a page full of names in there. And if you ask, I'll be happy to share it with you, because that is why I don't let go of my Book of Common Prayer, because all those names in here represent for me the fellowship of the saints who've gone before. And I can almost tell you a story about each one of them, in spite of the fact that there are over 300 names that represent those services. There are a lot of people who have been with, that I've had the privilege of standing before a congregation and trying to plant that seed of hope. But here's the thing, it doesn't always work. Sometimes we leave a church or a funeral or a Sunday morning service distracted, or maybe the words didn't come out in such a way that spoke to us in that moment of need or curiosity. Sometimes we go out into the world and get distracted by whatever else is out there, and there's plenty to distract us. But our God is an extravagant, reckless God who scatters seeds of hope and nurture of love abundantly. The parable we hear Jesus tell today, yes, it's really about those who would hear the word, whether they're the hard beaten path or they're tangled by thorns or it's so shallow they get scorched by the sun. Some of them take root and grow and produce abundance, right? That's the parable of the seed and the sower. But in fact, it is also a parable not just about those of us who would hear that word of hope, but of a God that scatters it in places where he's not even likely to take hold, where there's not a lot of a possibility or nurture, or it's hard packed, and the heart that seed falls on can't take it in. But does that change our reckless, extravagant God from scattering that seed of hope anyway? Of course not. One of my favorite passages, and so those of you who may have attended the baccalaureate service at the Montgomery Academy know that this past May, that when asked to do that speech, they said, well, what would you like to preach on, what Bible verse? And I said, oh, that's easy, Isaiah 55. And that's the exact lesson that we heard this morning. For as the rain and the snow falls from heaven and doesn't return there until it has watered and brought forth and sprouted, so shall my word not return to me empty. But it will accomplish that for which I purpose. It will succeed for that which I sent it. You will go out with joy, but you will be led back in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song. Don't you love that image? Burst into song, and the trees of the field, the trees of the field will clap their joy. Instead of thorns, there will be cypress. Instead of briars, there will be a myrtle. So it is, says the Lord. I would like to suggest that as we open our hearts to whatever might jump out of you today, for you today in this liturgy, in whatever state the garden of your soul might be this day, that you open yourself to that seed of hope, that life. But be assured that God is going to shower it down on you, that seed of hope, and give you something to cling to as you face whatever difficulty, anxiety, challenge in your life. because he's reckless with that love. He's abundant with that love. He scatters it. And it will not return to him empty. That's a word I need to hear. It means for me that while it may not come back to him exactly how he intended, love your neighbor, love God. I can cling fast to those messages of hope, but sometimes I go out into the world and I doubt myself and I can't quite get to that place where I realize that I can't let the thorns of anxiety get in my way in order to love God, in order to love my neighbor. But God said it will not return to him empty. It's going to come back to him, and he will cherish that which you offer, and he will nourish that until you feel so comfortable in that which you proclaim, pray, hope, dare to imagine, that when you do that, he will bless you. As Jesus said, for some it's 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I love that he goes downwards in that parable, but it's okay. He'll take whatever we have to offer back to him. This is an opportunity to present to God the harvest that is ours by faith, that our soul has been tended, and God is offering us an opportunity to give it back to him so that he may with us celebrate that which is ours by faith. It shall not return to me empty, but accomplish that for which I sent it. Thanks be to God. Amen.